Hey, welcome everybody. Let's talk real estate. Your weekly BS with Barry Saywitz about the current commercial real estate market here in Southern California. As we take a no BS look at both sides of the issues driving this market today to find the best solutions going forward. With our man right in the middle, it's Barry Saywitz. Hey, Barry.
Hey, good morning, Paul, and good morning to all of our viewers and our listeners out there. I'm Barry Saywitz, president of the Saywitz Company and managing partner of Saywitz Properties. It is Tuesday. We are back. We are talking real estate. Welcome back to Let's Talk Real Estate. I'm excited about today's show. We are back from our summer hiatus. We are delving in deep into all the inner workings of the real estate industry, and I'm excited to have with us Greg Herter, who is a real estate expert, entrepreneur, professor, and also director of the Center for Real Estate at Cal State University in Fullerton. And Greg, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. So thanks for coming in. I have lots to talk to you about and all kinds of questions on different fronts, but I guess I want to start with, I want to rewind back to the beginning of when you started to get into real estate. You began early on in the military, right?
Yes. I grew up in Wyoming and a variety of different places and joined the military right out of high school. And the military brought me to Southern California. And I got stationed at El Toro back when it was a Air Force or a Marine Corps Air Station. And I was a computer technician there. And I fell in love with Southern California and realized, gosh, I want to stay here. There's good weather. There's opportunities. It's a beautiful place to be. And I started looking at opportunities and I thought, real estate looks good. So I got my real estate license and I started selling real estate while I was still in the military.
Interesting. And back in those days, we won't say what year, but back before Orange County really boomed, prices were relatively speaking reasonable and markets were relatively speaking normal, but real estate was a good place to be. And as the county grew and expanded, real good opportunities.
And the funny thing is, today I still think that there's huge opportunities in Orange County real estate. Prices, yes, they're higher. When I came to Southern California, I thought the prices were outrageous compared to Wyoming.
Right. It's all a relative term. We came from Chicago and you could buy a house in our neighborhood for $50,000 or $100,000. And you come here and something that is $400,000. You're wondering why it's four, five, six, seven times as much. It's the same concept now, but yes, on a different scale.
And I think people really don't quite understand truly the law of supply and demand. And real estate was incredibly good to me. I bought my first house with the VA loan in Laguna Hills for $63,000.
And you're coming up with almost nothing. And regardless of interest rates at the time or over time, your payment is reasonable. It's not going to sink you.
Yes.
And we've talked about it on the show before. If you hold something long enough in real estate, you should make money.
Yes. The biggest mistake I've ever made in real estate is selling anything.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I always kick myself. So, or the deal I didn't do because it was a little bit too high. And then in hindsight, that's a ridiculous number. So
yes.
So you're doing real estate, you're selling homes, and then let's fast forward into sort of the next phase of what you wound up doing.
So I was young. I'm 19 years old when I got my real estate license. And I struggled my first year trying to figure out how to make real estate work. Now, fortunately, I was still in the Marine Corps, so I was getting a paycheck, but I worked primarily at night for the Marine Corps and had my days to go out and sell real estate. And I did all the traditional stuff, door knocking and everything else, but it wasn't working that well for me. And I took a class actually at Cal State Fullerton on marketing, and I had a very interesting marketing professor, and he asked me a question. He said, "Greg, what is your product?" I said, "Well, I sell real estate." And he sort of looked at me and rolled his eyes and he said, "No, what is your product?" And it took me a while, but he finally got me to realize that I was selling myself.
Yeah, it's me.
I wasn't selling Century 21, who I worked for at the time. I wasn't selling the seller's house. I was really selling my services and I had to figure out how to do creative. And he said, "You've got to stand out." He said, "There's a ton of real estate agents out there. What makes you different?"
So first the yellow jacket, but then I need another one.
And there was plenty of yellow jackets right back when that was when Century 21 really dominated. You know, and so I thought, I don't know. I'm young. I don't have experience. And I was working in a small area of Mission Viejo called the Cordovas.
Yeah.
And I called myself the Cordova King. And it worked. Suddenly I stood out. I got remembered. I started doing business. And I started doing some creative marketing. And a guy named Walter Sanford from Long Beach, who was a huge agent, called me up and said, I really like some of the marketing you're doing. Could you do some for me? And I started doing marketing for a number of top agents in Southern California. And that led me to actually start a marketing company doing marketing for realtors. And as that grew, I started traveling around the US and Canada doing seminars on marketing and advertising for real estate agents. And for 29 years, I traveled and taught agents how to build a marketing-driven real estate business through direct mail, brochures, a variety of different things combined with traditional prospecting.
And building a brand.
And building a brand that made them stand out, trying to find something unique about each person, their personality and style, so that people could remember them more than just, I'm not just another realtor. And that was incredibly successful for me. At our peak, we had 160 people doing $25 million a year in marketing sales to realtors. And that led me into the development business. And unfortunately, in 2006, I started a large home development project in Utah to develop 400 homes. And
right before the crash.
Yes. So the crash hit me very hard.
Yeah. All of us, really. But and it wasn't a short one either.
No. And because I had put basically all the wealth I had built into that project, I was trying to self-finance it.
Yeah.
It was costly, but you live and you learn and you move on to the next thing. And then eventually I got tired of traveling. So I closed Hobbsherder Advertising down and took over. I managed Keller Williams South Bay as a productivity coach. And then I moved to Kansas for a year and managed a large Keller Williams office there. Was doing about $1 billion a year in sales and got re-inspired to get back into sales. And I came back to Southern California and started teaching at Cal State Fullerton part-time, doing sales and just trying to figure out how to give back to the real estate industry and help the next generation take off and grow with the challenges and the opportunities, because a lot of new people coming into real estate get intimidated by it. And yet I think we need younger, new people to come into real estate to take us to the next level of real estate with AI and all the things that are coming up. We need innovative, bright people to move real estate into the future.
Yeah. And look, regardless of whether the market is up or down, from a sales and a marketing standpoint, we talk about it in our shop all the time. You have to always be marketing. You cannot get complacent and you cannot rely on the last deal that you did or you'll stay stagnant. And so it doesn't matter what the market is. It doesn't matter the deal you're working on. You got to keep it up.
And I actually believe that when the marketplace is slower, marketing is more important, and actually marketing works more effectively because it allows you to stand out.
And there's greater opportunity because you've, for lack of a better word, you've creamed the fat, right? People who are struggling get out of the business. People who are complacent, they either take a vacation or slow down and go, it's no big deal. And that is the opportunity to strike for the people who are aggressive.
Yes. And unfortunately, real estate is misunderstood by so many people because there's a lot of realtors. And yet there's only, in my opinion, 10 or 15% of all the realtors out there are what I call quality professional agents that actually took time to study the business, understand it, and get good at their craft.
Yeah. Plenty of weekend warriors, plenty of part-timers, and especially in Southern California, really all of California, but where prices are high, I could make one or two deals and then not work the rest of the year.
Yes. If you aren't, you know,
But the difference between you making zero and not working the rest of the year is only one or two deals. And therein lies the rub.
Yes.
And so whether it's recession or bad month or deal falls apart, you could fall off a cliff at any time. And that to me is not a business strategy.
No, and it's not a way to build your long-term wealth because you don't have the money to invest in buying houses. And if you really want to become wealthy, no matter where you are, it's in buying real estate. It's not selling real estate.
Yeah. And look, I'm a living proof of, I realized early on that in the brokerage business, and we're on the commercial side, but it's no different in concept. You make a deal, you make a bunch of money, and then you don't make a deal, you make zero. And so there are peaks and valleys. That is not cash flow. It's very difficult to pay your bills on a monthly basis when the commission goes up and down sporadically. And so I learned early on that my logic was, I'm going to buy a property that throws off rent so people can pay me every month so I have money to pay my own bills.
Yes, definitely. And fortunately, early on in my life, I actually ran across a guy named Jim Rohn, who was a personal development seminar speaker, and took a lot of his classes and ended up working for him for a couple of years. And one of the things he told me was, he said, Greg, very rarely does your income or your wealth exceed your personal development. He said, you need to work harder on yourself and your skills and your professionalism than you do on your job, because those are the things that are going to give you long-term opportunity. And I really believe that to be true. And as a professor, I try and impart that to my students. I try and get them to not only get a quality education, but to understand that education is a lifetime process, that they need to keep working on their own personal development skills and think about their plans. It's interesting. One of the assignments that I give to my students is, in all my real estate classes, I have them read the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Oh, yeah.
And then I say, I want you to write a paper, but don't give me a book report on Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I want you to write a life plan that shows you understand the concepts. And I want you to pick a date, whether it's 20 years, 30 years, 40 years down the road, and pick a date and tell me how much are you going to be worth at that date, and write out a plan on how you're going to go from where you are right now to how you're going to get there. And it's an interesting exercise. And I've had a ton of students over the years tell me that was one of the most impactful, most valuable things I got out of my college education, because it made me start thinking about, oh, gosh.
Then you save it and you pull it out 10 or 20 years from now and you go, was I right or wrong? How'd it go? Right?
So yes.
I did that. I had that once, and a teacher said to write down a number of how much is enough money that you would want to make where you would retire. And nobody told me you have to factor in inflation and things like that. but the number wasn't enough. It seemed like a ton of money at the time. And then you keep going because you got kids and you got obligations. And it's important to plan. And then there is what I call, and we talk about in our shop, is there's vertical income and there's horizontal income. Somebody said to me once, I'm a big fan of horizontal income. You know what that is? That is, I'm laying down flat sleeping and I'm still making money, as opposed to vertical income where I have to get up in the morning, go to work and make a living.
Yes.
And so you have to start with vertical income and your goal is to flatten out.
Yes. And I think that's one of the things I love about real estate, is that real estate is still a very entrepreneurial business. If you're a salesperson, the key to success, in my opinion, is that you have to be self-driven. And people that get into real estate and are looking for a boss to tell them what to do or where to go or when to get up tend to fail very quickly in real estate. If you're self-driven and you're willing to go out there and put yourself out there, you're going to do a lot better, whether it's selling houses, commercial, whatever type of real estate you're interested in. But you've got to be driven to do it yourself.
Yeah. And I think, look, nothing else in life, whether it's applying to college where you're trying to stand out from the crowd so they'll pick you and accept you, or whether it's in a bar trying to meet a girl or a guy, you need to stand out in life. And in business, you need to stand out. There is competition. And sometimes you're just not going to get the business because you're too young or you're too old or you didn't say the right thing. And you just don't know what turns somebody on or off. Yeah. But you can start with this is my strengths and this is who I am and here's how I'm going to help you. And we always talk about, look, how are you going to add value to somebody, right? Everybody can talk a good game. You can have a nice tie. You can make a good presentation. But for us in business, whether it's on the residential side or the commercial side, what are you going to do for me?
And to me, this is where I think for agents, it's learning the basic skills. It's interesting. When I took over as a productivity coach, one of the things that I found was that the skill level, the basic competence of a lot of agents was incredibly low. And so one of the things I did was I started working with all the agents I was training, whether they were new, whether in around 3 or 4 years, is that I would have them come in and give me a listing presentation every week.
Yeah.
And I was shocked, one, at the quality of some of them. In fact, how did anybody ever list with you? And then, but if they do it every week, their skill level rises relatively quickly because they just don't do it often enough early on in their career.
You also don't get nervous and you don't get tongue-tied and you say it because you know it and you mean it and it rolls off the tongue better. We used to do it. We would videotape and we would do it to the point where we would have 10 people sit in the room and watch the interview one-on-one to make people nervous on purpose. Because if you ever got in a boardroom and they brought in 3 or 4 people and the president of the company winds up sitting in on the meeting, goes, I want to hear this, you better not tighten up.
Yes.
And so the good news is you keep doing it. And then no different than watching your golf swing on a video. You go, oh my gosh, what the heck was I doing? You could say, hey, look, you're fidgeting. You're not sitting up straight. Your voice is all underneath you. There are many things to do it. There's the nuts and bolts of what you're saying. And then in sales, it's how you say it as well.
Definitely. And going back to that, in my real estate practice class, I give people an assignment early on in the semester to write an elevator pitch and then require them to present it to the class. What I don't tell them is that they are going to present that about 4 times during the semester. And I videotape every one of them, and it is shocking the difference between their first one,
take one and their fourth one. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Because they've actually worked on it. They've practiced it. They've said it now a few hundred times, and it makes such a huge difference.
Look, my son took a class at community college before he went to university, and it was on resumes and interviewing. And then they would get on Zoom calls and they would make you interview for a job so that when you actually went to go interview for a job, you sound like you knew what you're talking about, which is selling yourself.
That's yes. It, right? So to me, I think that it's so important that people understand they've got to work on their basic skills. And even if they do great marketing that gets people to call them, if they don't have the skills to back it up, they're going to fall flat.
Yeah.
So it's a combination of what are my basic skill levels? What's going to make me stand out? What's the personality? What's the brand I can build around who I am? And then how do I make sure that people know about that? How do I get it out there and tell people? I'm always surprised that so many people think if I get a real estate license, magically people in Southern California are going to call me
yeah.
and say, oh, I saw you got a license. Would you help me buy or sell a house? Oh.
Or people say, hey, I'm a certified investment manager. And I go, I don't even know what that means. Sounds cool. You put on your business card, but so what?
Right? Yes.
So I want to take all of that and I want to fast forward because one of your more recent roles today now is you are the director of the Center for Real Estate at Cal State Fullerton. So congratulations on that. And I know that the program there continues to grow, continues to expand. I guess let's talk about that for a little bit and your role there and where it's headed.
I've taught since 2006 part-time at Cal State Fullerton, basically teaching real estate practice, real estate principles. And eventually they said, you've got a background in real estate. Why don't you take over as the director of the Center of Real Estate? And we have a great alumni association that is supportive of the future of real estate. And some people have donated money and said, we want to help generate the next business. And the Center of Real Estate is really designed to help people going through and getting their college education to give them the practical skills and understanding of the job opportunities, the wide range of different types of job in real estate, not just residential, commercial, but property management, asset management, financial planning, all of the different ranges and make sure students are aware of the fact that the real estate industry in Orange County is one of the biggest employers. I think it's number three of all employers in Orange County, and it offers a huge opportunity, not just in sales, but in accounting, different things. And then we put together a series of professional training programs to give people an edge. So Cal State Fullerton offers Argus training. So you can get to become a certified Argus specialist while you're getting your degree at Cal State Fullerton. And it's amazing how many companies want somebody that understands Argus and the tremendous ability that gives you to correctly evaluate commercial real estate. And then we have IREM programs. We have programs to help you get your CPA so that shortly after you graduate, you can become a certified property manager. And we're trying to help students. And then we're trying to connect with employers that want high quality students and give them internship opportunities and help them get into great jobs once they graduate.
Yeah.
And we've been very successful at doing that. And that's our mission, is to help our students and help local industry hire really high quality people.
Yeah.
And it's been incredibly rewarding watching these young people grow and then get hired to become very successful.
Yeah. It really, when you say real estate, it really is a broad stroke of a variety of different segments, whether it's commercial, industrial, residential, but then also within it, it's the finance side, it's the banking side, it's the brokerage side, it's the management side, investing,
yes,
analysis. Really, there's a whole plethora of classes, courses that somebody could take.
And we try and expose at our what we call the Real Estate Association, the REA, we try and expose our students to different speakers each week in different aspects of real estate so they can say, gosh, that sounds like something I would be interested in. And it's wonderful because most people are never exposed to these job opportunities or even knew that there were those types of jobs until, you know, well into their career, or they never found out about them at all.
Or they don't know the details of it, right? I have people,
yes,
come and they want an internship at our company, and I go, well, what do you want to do? And they're like, I want to get into commercial real estate. Why? Because I met a guy and he had a nice car. No, that's not it. Or because I want to work on big deals. Yeah, there's a process, right? And
yes.
So there's also a good and a bad. And if you're very analytical and you're not sales oriented, then you need to be in that lane. And if you're very sales oriented and not detail oriented, then you need to stay in this lane, because there are places for everybody depending upon what skills you have.
And to me, one of the things is that our industry has become much more cooperative. If you're really good at sales and maybe aren't great at the details, you need to partner somebody that really is good,
right,
at the details.
Which never really existed if you go way back. You got in the business, I got in the business. It's every man and woman for themselves, right?
Yes.
And what I always talk about was, I was my own company and I had my own plate, and I would be the guy who dug up the deal, work on the deal, close the deal, eat the kill that I got, and then I had to start all over again. And so it was just a vicious circle, and there's only so many hours in the day, and sometimes it takes more effort to work on a smaller deal than it does a bigger deal, and more headache and more drama. And nobody taught me that early on, because I was like, oh, I'll just work on some small deals and cut my teeth. And I thought, this sucks, right? And now, in today's world, you have the team approach, right? And so I don't know if you'd touch on that. You need people around you and you need help.
Yes. I think the team approach has definitely changed. I think also real estate from when we got started has evolved. Just the physical amount of disclosures from when I started real estate.
Oh, yeah. Paperwork. Just a killer. And you need an assistant just to deal with all of that.
Yes.
And to cross the T's. And when, as a buyer, filling out all the disclosures that somebody, after a while, I don't even bother. Like, I'm like, this one's not a big deal. But if you had to sit there and read them all, it'd take you days.
Yes. And to understand it and all the other stuff. I tell even new agents today, I said, you're crazy not to hire a TC on every one of your transactions just to keep the paperwork straight, because
yes,
you will forget something.
Pay a fee. And then, and as a transaction coordinator, you could sit at home on your couch in some shorts and do what you got to do. If that,
yes,
and then maybe that's your thing.
And it's amazing. A number of people from the Real Estate Association we had a transaction coordinator last year come in and talk, and it was like, this is a job.
Oh, yeah.
And I can do it from my house, and man.
And while I don't get the money that the broker gets, I get paid.
Yes.
Solid income. I don't have to worry about the deal falling apart. One falls apart, it's not the end of my world.
Yes.
And on the commercial side, I learned, like, no one told me nobody reads the lease. When I first start doing leasing, I get handed a 50-page lease, and then they were like, I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'll read the lease, right? I read them from cover to cover, and then the stuff I didn't understand, I'd ask somebody. And then all of a sudden, I realized I was a heck of a lot smarter than everybody else out there because nobody else read the lease. I go, didn't you read the lease? Don't you know what that means? I don't read the lease. Just sign it.
Unfortunately, so many people don't take the time to really understand the legalities of what they're doing or selling. But to me, I'm trying to get all of our students to look at, how do I become better? How do I really become super competent in what I do and then stand out so I can go out and build a career and then put a plan to build my long-term wealth?
Yeah.
So that I become successful and I have that ability to say, I'm deciding when I'm going to work, when I'm not going to work, and go out there and live a life that really has meaning.
And so it's really a two-phase process, right? You got to get a plan to get a plan. And then once you have that plan, you need to take it to the next level to figure out an exit strategy. And even if you're young, it's very hard to comprehend.
Yes, it is. And then it's, how do you make sure that you're evolving continuously? Because you're never going to arrive. And once you get to a certain level where you thought, oh my goodness, I think that's all I'm going to need, you realize there's more, and there's more opportunity to give back and to make a difference and make a contribution to people in society at large.
Yeah. And so from the center's perspective, your goal is to arm these kids with the tools as much as possible that they will need to go and try and get it together.
Right? Yes.
Get a job, get a plan, do both. Where do you see the center going in terms of the services it provides? Is it to just continue to fine tune it, expand it, bring in people from the community to give the students various different aspects of what's going on out in the real world?
And Cal State Fullerton is unique in that we also have 5 full-time real estate researchers that are pushing the bounds of where real estate is going. And we're trying to combine that research, help it to train our students, and then give practical information back to industry. So in January, I think January 30th of 2026, we're doing our annual commercial real estate forum. And we're looking at what are the things that are changing and evolving in Orange County commercial real estate. What's the next year? What's the next 3 to 5 years looking like? How is AI going to impact that? How is the big, beautiful bill impacting that? How is all of this coming in so that the people within commercial real estate can come and get a glimpse into the future of where real estate is going? And that's always a great event where we bring students, industry people together, and we look forward to how is this going to evolve in commercial real estate.
And what other outside factors are going to affect the real estate markets? And we talk about interest rates. There's no bigger factor, in my opinion, that directly is going to impact what happens in terms of people's buying power, but also in terms of people's perception of I can afford it and I maybe get back out and it spurs some additional transaction volume in the marketplace.
Yes. So we'll take a look at all of that and how it affects the marketplace from both a macro and a micro level. And we're trying to always expand, how is real estate going to evolve? What's going to be different 5 years from now? Because in my 40 years of being involved in real estate, one thing I've seen over and over again is that it's always changing and evolving. Yes, there's some basics that are still the same. It's still a relationship business. It still needs to make financial sense. But the technology, everything else is ever evolving, and it's going to continue to evolve.
Yeah. And there are factors in today's world that weren't there 10 years ago or 20 years or even 5 years ago. You talk about insurance, you talk about tariffs, you talk about costs of construction, you talk about permitting and governmental constraints. These are all things that if you rewind the clock when we got started, nobody thought about that stuff. It was just make a deal, buy a piece of property, it's fine.
Yeah.
You want to raise somebody's rent, you just give them 30 days notice, you raise the rent, right? And now you could get sued, you got to do all these notices, you got to comply with the state laws. It's a big deal.
Yes. And everybody talks about we need more affordable housing. And unfortunately, most people don't take the time to understand it's complex to create affordable housing, and the state makes it really hard. There are so many things you have to do to get a development project even approved.
Yeah, and that's probably a whole nother show that Paul's waving at me like, you're not going there. But the fact of the matter is people don't understand that when you see a new building going up, that's not affordable unless it's designated affordable, because new construction doesn't have to comply with any of the rent control constraints that an existing property would. And so navigating that's a whole...
Yes.
We have to have you come back so we could... I could rant and rave on that one all day. But we only have a couple of minutes left. So in terms of the backing from the university as a whole for the Center for Real Estate, are they behind it? And is it like, to me, it is a real thing, but it should be certainly at the forefront because it is so prevalent, especially in Orange County.
Dean Shree is very supportive of the Center of Real Estate and all of the centers that we have there. The state of California doesn't give us a lot of money for the things that we're doing. We're giving scholarships to a lot of students to help them get Argus training, get these things. So we're going out and going to industry and asking for donations. We're supported by a lot of real estate professionals, both in commercial, residential, that care about the future of the real estate industry and the next generation of leaders. And so they've been incredibly generous to donate money. Some of the big people in real estate, in both commercial and residential, have been very supportive. And then we work with Chapman, UCI, any of the universities to do joint programs to further the future of real estate and to make sure that it's really going to be something that makes a huge impact. Because let's face it, real estate, they aren't making any more land. How it gets used, how it gets built and developed, and then how it gets maintained is going to affect our quality of life, because we all need to live somewhere.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And there's no question that the market and the economy are ever changing, and which then makes the business of being in real estate constantly changing. And you got to keep up with the Joneses.
And if anybody wants to subscribe, we do a monthly newsletter about real estate trends in Orange County. If you go to CRE@fullerton.edu, we'd be happy to send that to you and keep you up to date with what's going on in real estate here in Southern California.
Yeah. And if people want to find out more about the Center for Real Estate, go to the website. If you want to get involved, if you want to offer services, if you want to donate money, I'm sure Greg will be happy to take your money and or invite you in to talk about your wares.
Yes.
So I would just offer, look, if you need somebody to talk about stuff, I'm happy to come and make some stuff up for you.
All right. We'd love to have you.
Yeah. So I appreciate you coming on the show and talking about your own experience and talking about the Center for Real Estate, and certainly wish you and your family and all the programs there at Cal State Fullerton much continued success. And we appreciate you coming in and talking about it.
All right. Thank you. And it was a pleasure being here.
Yeah. So thanks. So for all of the folks out there, again, I'm Barry Saywitz. Thanks for tuning in and listening in. We will be back here next week on Let's Talk Real Estate. Thank you again to all the folks who make the show happen here at OC Talk Radio. We'll see you next time.
There you have it. You've been listening to Let's Talk Real Estate, your weekly BS with Barry Saywitz about the current state of the real commercial real estate market right here in Southern California. On Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studio here at the University of California Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Center.